Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Cobbers. From the land down under, this is the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast. Whether you're with the Strikers, the Stars or the Sixers, you might be a renegade, enjoy the heat, love the thunder, like a scorcher or prefer hurricanes. Brought to you in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk. Tie your kangaroo down, put another shrimp on the barbie and enjoy the fun. It's gonna be a ripper. Big Bash 10.
Hello everybody, welcome along. It's another edition of the Big Bash Daily, and flipping it, we've seen a fantastic day's cricket around the globe today. Two stunning test matches, a terrific game in the Big Bash as well, which we'll start off talking about, the Melbourne Derby. Really good game in the Big Bash competition. Thank you very much to bluecrocodile.co.uk for the continued support of this podcast. Snapping up the right mortgages for you, Blue Croc Money. On Twitter, I'm James Butler, the Cricket Badger, and joined by two guys that I keep getting mixed up. When they're on separately, I keep calling Sam Ollie and Ollie Sam, but I should be okay today because they've got different voices and different names on my screen. Let's start with you, Sam. Melbourne Renegades losing again today against the Melbourne Stars. Stars won by 6 wickets with 5 balls left, and the Renegades have been a little bit the whipping boys of this competition, haven't they, so far? They cut adrift now at the bottom of the BBL ladder, but a terrific game today in Melbourne.
Yeah, it was brilliant. It was a proper derby clash, wasn't it? It swung both ways. Either team could have won it, I think. The Stars will be, well, they'll be happy with the points, but they'll be a bit relieved, as you said, that the Renegades have become the tournament's whipping boys. And most teams, even though they might not admit it publicly, will look at them and think, yep, there's 3 points. And they've got a bit of momentum now, the Stars. They've won a couple. They've been inconsistent. They've started with a couple of wins, lost 5 out of 6 in the middle and have now won a couple. They've got a strong side. Adam Zampa's been in and out. He's now back. Marcus Stoinis is back bowling. Fletcher at the top of the order got runs in the last game, although I think he got a knock on the elbow. He got hit by a ball today. But they're kind of this all-star side with people like Maxwell in there. So it's promising signs for them. They're getting momentum at the right time in the season.
It's been a grim old time for the Renegades, Ollie, hasn't it, in this competition? Just 2 wins from the 11 games played so far. A quick calculation there. If they got all 4 points from each of their 3 games now, they'd get to 22, which would only now put them in fourth place. So I think we can pretty much say goodbye to the Renegades. But if you're in the coaching camp for that part of Melbourne, the big 100-plus run defeats seem to be a bit of a distant memory now, and they are competing. They might still be losing, but they've pushed the Stars close today. So I guess small crumbs of comfort for the Renegades coaching department.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's some good aspects to them. I think Richardson's bowling well at the moment, and they look like they've got a couple of good youngsters coming through, like Fraser McGurk. Looks like he's quite exciting, and Sean Marsh is holding together at the top. I think they really need to start looking towards next season now, and I think it's a time to start blooding some younger players and seeing what they can do for next season. It's the same situation they're in last year. They're gonna finish rock bottom, almost certainly, and I think they need to ask some questions about their sort of development and their overseas players. They're not the strongest, and with that lineup that they have at the moment, they really need support from some excellent overseas
Yeah, I mean, let's go through the game then. Melbourne Renegades batting first today. They made 150 in their, well, 19.5 overs that were bowled out on the penultimate ball. Star of the show for them, Sam Harper, made 63. He was really the only guy that really got going. Sean Marsh made 24, 29 for Mackenzie Harvey. And a good performance from the Melbourne Stars in the field. 3 for 29 from Liam Hatcher, who's been a really good performer for them so far this season. 2 for 23 from Zahir Khan. And Billy Stanlake taking 2 for 28 for them. And the Melbourne Stars chasing that 151 to win. Runs fairly well shared around, really. Stoinis 43, 43 as well for Nick Larkin, and 20 for Glenn Maxwell, and 20 not out for Nick Mathieson, taking them across the line with Hilton Cartwright at the end. In the bowling department for the Renegades, 2 for 24. For Kane Richardson, he's been leading their attack all the way through this campaign, single-handedly almost at times. And the Renegades, as I say, notch another defeat. They are now 10 points from their 11 games so far. And as Ollie just suggested there, looking very likely as if they're going to be the wooden spoon in the Big Bash ladder. And the Melbourne Stars, though, 11 games played now, onto 23 points. They've played one game more than the Sydney Thunder, who are on the same amount of points as them, and one game more than Perth Scorchers, who are on 21 points, 2 points behind them. But they've really started to come good at the right time, and looking likely as if they're going to seal their place in the playoffs, if they can continue their good form at the moment.
In changing times like these, make a change yourself. Buy your own home. Still living with parents or renting? Why not buy your first property? Mortgage rates are lower than ever. Speak to Blue Crocodile.
Blue Crocodile?
Yeah, Blue Crocodile. They'll get you the right first-time buyer deal by searching the market for the most competitive option for you. They don't bite. They're just straight-talking people like me. Give them a bell or go online. Blue Crocodile.
None of us are sitting in Australia, but there's a massive test series going on. Everybody's talking about the rear guard action for India today, which we'll come on to a little bit later. How difficult do you think it is for the Big Bash organisers at the moment to try and stick their hands in the air and kind of say, watch us, look at us, it's Big Bash, Big Bash, it's all exciting, when there's such a terrific test series going on? It's kind of almost second fiddle, isn't it, at the moment, Australia?
It is, and as you say, it's difficult to know exactly how it's planning out, but I suppose the timings are usually quite helpful. It tends to be the Big Bash is not on until the evening, and so that's after the test has finished, and cricket lovers like ourselves will just lap it up, and it's brilliant for us over here. They always have to compete. Maybe it's heightened because of the lockdown and how particularly good the India-Australia series is proving to be. But I don't know if it's not necessarily a new issue for them. They've been doing it year in, year out. The crowds seem pretty good. I know it's hard to tell because they're only allowed a certain number of people in, but the games that do have crowds, they seem to be very into it. And I think the viewing figures are up. So, yeah, a tough ask, and it's bound to be second fiddle, but it seems to be going okay.
I suppose the counter-argument, Sam, is that because cricket's being talked about because of the test series, the fact that obviously Big Bash is cricket as well, it might actually bring a few people into watching it that might otherwise not have been so interested.
Well, yeah, quite right too. And T20 is, I don't know, I'm still one of the, I love T20, but the test is still the ultimate format. But like you say, if somebody wants an introduction and they just want a few hours and it's to see what the game's like, what it's about, and a bit of fun, it certainly can't do any harm.
There is that perception, isn't there, Ollie, that T20 is the gateway drug for the harder stuff, the Red Bull cricket and other stuff that's further down the line when you're really addicted. I don't necessarily think that's necessarily true, is it? You can turn on a test match and be introduced to cricket that way as well as T20. They're not mutually exclusive. They can help each other, can't they?
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's the hard drug. It's not the class A T20, but it's definitely a microcosm of a test match, but in a shorter format. So you have some spills and drama. It doesn't have some of the intricacies and nuances, but it's got its own aspects which add the drama to it. So it's almost it's a contrived environment to get an excitement and a result. And it does enable people to watch it and enjoy it who may not have done it, but you can also enjoy it in its own right. And like you and Sam said earlier, I really like T20, but I prefer test. But it doesn't mean I don't really enjoy a really good T20. And there's not times when I've actually switched off a test match that was a bit drab and boring and lifeless and put on a bit of drama of T20 on the other side. I think it's a brilliant aspect, brilliant way to introduce, and also for anyone to enjoy the game, and cricket lovers or new viewers to the sport.
I'm exactly the same. I mean, I wouldn't be doing these Big Bash dailies if I didn't really love T20 cricket. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? But I just think Test cricket has got everything. And I did it on Twitter again today, but regular listeners of the podcast will know that I often kind of refer to Test match cricket as the classic feature film. You know, you get some feature films that you'll turn off and not watch. But generally speaking, a really good Test match is something you remember forever. a really good T20, maybe not quite so much, but you can still get embroiled in the tournament and you can still get embroiled in the game for that 3 hours or whatever it is on that day. But Sam, you might not necessarily remember it 10 years down the line, whereas a classic test match, you might do.
Completely. I agree. My thought is more that if we're introducing new people to the game, if someone comes to me and says, Sam, right, you've got 3 hours, I'm going to give cricket a try. I'm not going to sit down and watch a test match with them. I'm going to say, right, let's sit down and watch a T20, because as much as those of us who maybe know the game and love the game, are enthralled by it unfolding over 5 days. It can be a bit hit and miss. You could have a brilliant session. You could have a really slow session. So I just think in terms of an introduction, T20 cricket is the way I would be going with it personally.
Jason Gillespie is listening to this. I apologise, Dizzy, but my meat analogy for the two different competitions, the kind of prime steak is Test cricket, and McDonald's or something like that would be the comparison in terms of T20. And you can have McDonald's has got its place. We'll have all been there and got our Big Macs and stuff and enjoyed them. But a fillet steak in a nice restaurant in good company is probably more your Test cricket side of things. And Ollie, we'll talk a little bit about Test cricket further down the line with the two fantastic days we've had in the two respective series. But what we've got at the moment is the Big Bash going on. We've got India against Australia down under. We've got Sri Lanka entertaining England. For cricket badges like us, this is just glorious, isn't it? You know, you turn on the telly in the morning, fair enough, a little bit too early in the morning in the UK at times, but it is just fantastic that, I mean, I've been sat here today, I've had two screens on, I've had the India-Australia test match going on one screen with the England test match in goal on the other. And then when the India test match finished, I turned that off and put it over to the Big Bash and watched that alongside the England performance as well. And I'm just, it's paradise.
It's almost like an embarrassment of riches, isn't it? You've got too much to watch and not enough time, and you don't almost want to waste time sleeping because you might miss something that's going on. So I think, especially with the standard of cricket and difference in the environments that being played at the moment, it's two totally different things. It's brilliant. And then to cap it off, you've got the Bash for that little dessert at the end of the day. You've only watched about, I don't know, probably about 10 hours of cricket, and then the Bash comes on just to finish you off. I mean, it couldn't wish for any better in lockdown, to be honest. It's making it bearable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what our Australian listeners are trying to get their days sorted out as, but certainly in the UK, I know a number of people are trying to catch maybe the first session of the action in Australia, then maybe trying to catch some sleep before they get up to potentially watch the second session or something in goal so they can keep up to date with England as well. And the Big Bash on the other screen too. I've been getting up at 3:30 every day through this England test match to do some commentary for on the test series in Sri Lanka, but still having the Big Bash on the other screen. It's just awesome at the moment that there's so much cricket about. And I think back to the start of lockdown in the UK back in March when sport just stopped for a couple of months, didn't it? And we all missed it. And now it's almost like we're getting a little bit of payback. And hopefully the next thing is we're out back into ground so we can see stuff live as well. But it's fantastic that cricket is so good.
BlueCrocodile.co.uk. Sort your mortgage in a snap. Are you a first-time buyer with your eyes on that dream house? Are you wanting to move or looking for a better mortgage deal? Let Blue Crocodile find the right mortgage for you. 10% deposit mortgages are returning. If you need to know how much you can afford to borrow, just visit bluecrocodile.co.uk.
Let's choose our bluecrocodile.co.uk cricketer of today's match, the Melbourne Derby, the Renegades going down to the Stars in quite a close encounter. Ollie, where would you take me for your Blue Crocodile cricketer of today's game?
I would tend to go with winning side, so it's Stars again. I thought Zaheer Khan had his best bowling since he's been at Melbourne. I thought he bowled really well today. I thought that was really interesting. Stoinis batted solidly at the top.
You could see that Zaheer Khan was really up for it today. He was taking his wickets and he looked really as if he was really enjoying his performance today, which is a good sign.
Yeah, he seemed to be more confident. And I think it's the difference of being back at the MCG, which obviously is home. It's bigger boundaries. It reminds me a bit of Lancashire being really dominant at home with their spinners. There was 12 overs of spin from the Stars today, and they all bowled solidly. Maxwell being more expensive, if you don't include Madison's one over. I thought Zaheer Khan looked really good, and he got his two wickets, deserved it. And they were crucial times when the scoreboard was really looking to go in the Renegades' favour. And like I said, Stoinis in the power play, he's been really solid. He's right up there with the leading run scorers again, even with a couple of failures in there. But I actually thought I'd give it to Larkin today because I thought it was really good and added some impetus. He got the same as Stoinis. So I think that I'll give it to Nick Larkin, just edging out Zahir Khan and Stoinis today.
Yeah, Nick Larkin, 43 from 32 today, 5-4s, and played, yeah, as you say, really nicely alongside Stoinis. Sam, would you agree with that, or you take me somewhere else?
I'm tempted somewhere else, James. I was going to say I'm going to do something different, but it's actually the same as I did last time, so it's in danger of being a bit of a pattern. I'm going to go, for me, the Sam Harper batted really well.
Yeah, I was thinking that, because he was, as I said on the intro there, he was the one batsman for them that actually just got them to a score, wasn't he? Without him, they'd have been nowhere.
Exactly. Losing side, you lose Finch two balls into the inning. So, you know, all right, he's not been in great nick, but he's still the captain of Australia. And he's kind of not a stalwart. He's better than that. He's a shining light. You know, the bench is going to be really upset at losing him that early. But Harper's come in. Him and Marsh, I think they got the Big Bash boost point. They've put on 78 odd in the first 10 overs. So they were going along really well. And then the middle order didn't really fire and get them to a proper total. But I thought he was excellent. Timed his innings really beautifully. He had the 1-6 in there, and he's had a lean tournament. So I'm going to give it to him. Although I do agree, Zahir Khan bowled beautifully. Hatcher, 3 wickets as well. There were a couple of 40 odds for the Stars, but yeah, I'm going to go with Sam Harper.
You've given me a decision to make now, haven't you? I mean, obviously, Liam Hatcher's worth a mention, Zahir Khan's worth a mention, but I'm sorry, Ollie, I'm actually going to go with Sam today, because there aren't going to be many days in this Big Bash that we're able to actually celebrate a Melbourne Renegades player in this way, because although they lost a day, they got close, and Sam Harper played really nicely. Without him, as I say, they could have fallen in a big heap and it could have been another mauling. So the bluecrocodile.co.uk cricketer of today's match. He may have been on the losing side, but it's Sam Harper for his 63. Mortgages are simpler than you think when you have a crocodile on your side. Blue Crocodile, making mortgages snappy and simple. Visit bluecrocodile.co.uk, follow them on Twitter at Blue Croc Money, or find them on Facebook. Blue Crocodile. Right, to round off then, I've just been engrossed in the test matches today. Five-day cricket, it's always been my favourite, but what an advert for the game we've had. We've had the action at the Gabba, where India have fought back so valiantly. I mean, I tweeted out this morning that regardless of whatever the series result is down there, I hope Indian fans welcome those guys back as heroes, because it's the B team almost that are standing up. They've got only a handful of caps amongst those bowlers in that Indian side today. And then to see Thakur and Washington Sundar, after taking wickets in the Australian innings, add that 100-plus partnership today to really keep India in the game and keep India in the series. It was absolutely joyous to see. And then obviously in goal, we've had a great fight back from Sri Lanka as well, after being rolled for 135, England sticking on a big score of 400 plus. For them to fight back as they have done in that test match, and to give England a very, very nervy little chase there. It might only be a chase of 74, but England have certainly made a Horlicks of the start of it, as they come back tomorrow to try and finish off that chase with 7 wickets still remaining. Without getting too much into the specifics of both series and the state of play, it's just fantastic, Sam, isn't it? It's just the best advert you could get for Test match cricket, that we got 2 exciting series, 4 teams really going for it, and 4 teams laying everything on the line.
Yeah, it's been wonderful, and I've thoroughly enjoyed, you know, I stick the Australia game on overnight and kind of drifting out of sleep listening to that going on. And
I do exactly the same thing, Sam. And I woke up this morning with information going in my head that didn't make any sense to me, that it had obviously seeped in off what the commentators had been saying overnight. There was something about Stonehenge, something about some old Australian player, and something else, and it made no sense whatsoever, but it had been coming in my ears all evening.
It's funny what you pick up. People used to mock me, but I did do it as an exam technique. I would have stuff that I kind of make notes and have it on overnight, and you just kind of by osmosis pick stuff up. Yeah. And so I woke up during that massive partnership in the Indian innings, and actually what's been great is the two series have completely different narratives. It's like, if they're two feature films, there are completely different plots going on, you know, plots and subplots there, but both have been enthralling and continue to do so. I mean, we're going to go into day 5 of the Australia game. Well, no, day 4 of the Australia game, isn't it? Yeah. And likewise of England. Very different stories, but both wonderful to watch.
Yeah, it's been absolutely superb. And in the same way that sometimes things seep in, I sometimes wake up in the morning, Ollie, wondering, did that actually happen? I'd kind of woken up for maybe 20 minutes and heard something amazing happen, and then woken up the following morning, did I dream that? Was that real? And I have to check the scorecard. It's just, there's something very special in England, and there always has has been, from being a young kid myself, of listening to the radio overnight with away series and away tours. And we're spoiled a bit now with the way the BBC are covering the Australian one as well. You can keep abreast of everything under your duvet, can't you?
So yeah, effectively, there is no reason to sleep at the moment. And the information they give is exhaustive. I totally agree with you. There's something about listening to it late at night in an English winter. And also, there's a sound of the ground from around the world or coming through the radio that makes it sound really exotic and different, especially when I was growing up. All these, like, talk about the MCG or the Waka or the Gabba or anywhere like that, or the West Indian tour stick out as well sometimes. It just seemed really exotic and different and exciting. And I haven't lost that. And there is still that sound and that feeling that comes across when you listen to it, especially England. But even with this Australia-India series, it sounds almost too good to be true.
And in some ways, Ollie, when you actually see the ground, if you listen to a commentary from somewhere and you haven't actually seen the ground, and they're painting that picture, aren't they? And you've got that image in your head. When you actually see the picture, it doesn't ruin it, but it kind of changes your approach to it, doesn't it? Sometimes just hearing the words is actually better.
Oh, so the sounds and the words and description of it are just, like you say, they paint a picture. You create it in your own mind. You're right. He's just so right. When you see the grounds, and the ones that stick out, when I used to hear, was the West Indian ones, you're like, oh, is that it? It takes away the magic. It's telling a story. It's almost like fiction, but it's mixed with true life that's in behind it, and actually factual information. It's an incredible way they have about it, and it's a skill. And I think it's magical, especially with the quality of the Australian series that's coming out now, and the drama, and like Sam said earlier, the narrative behind it is so strong. And we're talking about an Indian team that's at the peak of its powers. Got their players at the absolute prime age for cricketers, so this is their chance. This is what they want, to really cement themselves as that legacy of winning over there twice. It's so good. It's so lucky. I don't want it to end, to be honest.
But I mean, Sam, what Ollie just said there is true, Sam. But the fact that they're down to the they're down to the net bowlers. Natarajan, Saini, I think, as well. They were only included on the tour initially as reserves. Then they became net bowlers and kept on. And then found obviously with all the injuries they've had, they've got their chance to shine, haven't they? And I think Siraj was one of those as well. I mean, the bowling attack that India have got over there is not the bowling attack that anybody would have expected to have taken the field. Some of them, you wouldn't, probably any of those players, you'd never expected to actually feature in the team in Australia at all, let alone all together. And the way India have gone about it, and they may still lose this test match, but the way they've gone about it, I mean, the Indian faithful back home can be very, very proud of that side. And if they do win or get a draw in the series, that is, I've said to the Indian lads on this podcast, it's got to go down as their greatest ever away trip, hasn't it? Because despite all of the adversity, the captain going home on paternity leave, to perform like they have done against a very, very strong Australian bowling attack, it's huge.
Oh, absolutely. It shows, you couldn't have almost written the script in terms of the injuries. Well, first you were Kohli going home, but then all the injuries and all the different things have happened to them. And actually, I really do hope they get the draw, because then I think they retain the trophy, having won it last time, I believe. And we talk a lot about the IPL. It shows the strength and depth that India has in terms of white ball cricket, but in red ball cricket as well, these guys are performing at the very top level. The Australian pace attack is formidable. They've got a decent batting lineup and they're holding their own. And I think there was a stat before the test about, was it 1,000 odd test wickets versus 13 or something like that.
Something along those lines. It's hugely one-sided.
And if you look, if you go and look through the different players' first class stats, it's not like these, you've got no one coming in with 600, 700, 800 first class wickets either. These are all guys that are relatively, well, they're not in age, but early-ish in their career, and they are just stepping up. They have not, everything that's been thrown at them so far, they have stood up to, and it's just must be wonderful. They can be very proud, the Indian public. I mean, they're a top level side, but this really would be quite something to pull off a draw and to go away with retaining the trophy.
It was good to see the response to my tweet that a lot of the Indian followers of the @cricket_badger Twitter feed were saying one of them said Indian fans are much more mature these days. It was his version of that. And they recognise what this team are doing. They're not necessarily expecting them to win, but they're recognising the stellar efforts that they're putting in, and these inexperienced youngsters, a lot of them coming in and standing up against the big boys, going toe-to-toe with the Aussies in their own backyard at the Gabba as well, which is their fortress.
cricket's a game played with balls. You've got to look after them in the field. Badgers are furry creatures. My friends at manscaped.com help you make sure it's neat and tidy down there. Oh, get rid of all that excess fur. Make sure that you're neat and tidy. Make sure everything's in the right order. Oh, feeling all good now down in my set. Oh, manscaped.com. Maximum skin safe performance, compact design, advanced engineering, ceramic blade, waterproof. And it doesn't end there. Show you care by caring for your pair. Cleansers, revivers, preservers. Simply go to manscaped.com, quote the discount code Badger. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Get on there now. To finish off with, Ollie, you're an Englishman, and you, like me, have been watching the Test match today. Sri Lanka have done brilliantly, haven't they, to fight back from that 135 they made in that first innings and to reduce England to 38 for three at the end. The drama there, you see Dan Lawrence and Johnny Bairstow batting out and then the bad light stopping play so that England will have to come back to score the 36 runs required to win if they can get that far tomorrow. That was just incredible Test cricket. The drama, Sri Lanka just edging past England, then they lost the wickets, Jack Leach taking a five for everything was happening.
It was, so to be honest, it's horrible to watch at the end, just
I was loving it because
as an English,
I'm obviously English and I want to see England win. To be honest, I only want to see England win if they deserve to win, and if Sri Lanka fight back and they deserve to win, hats off to them.
Absolutely, I looked at it from a slightly different way but really similar. So if you can't score 74 in it's a chase, doesn't matter on what pitch, don't deserve to win. But also, do you deserve to win batting like they did in the first innings? It's amazing that both sides have almost got the other back in the game, because some of our bowling was a bit wayward and I think they went into it a little bit too confident or too comfortable, saying we've got a massive lead here, this is going to be okay. It's a fourth day pitch today. It's going to start to rag and bounce, a bit uneven stuff. But in fact, Sri Lanka applied themselves so well. They've got themselves in with a puncher's chance, you know, tomorrow. If they get a couple of early wickets, I wouldn't like to be in that dressing room and be chaotic. I think it was good as well, because you don't want to see a one-sided game straight away, especially with Sri Lanka. And England want a good test to warm them up for India as well, which is the one, their series coming up. I think it's a really good mental test. And I think it's been really good for people like Dan Lawrence to be involved. I don't think he's done himself any harm at all about being involved later on in the tour. I think it's really exciting. We talked about it, and to get on to a little bit of team selection, we talked about England possibly playing another spinner next in the next game. That, how good would that be, say three spinners and you're probably only going to use two of them going into the India series, maybe? That's gonna be much more challenging. That could almost be a shootout or just a really good experience for that third spinner to get, because they're all so young.
Yeah, we were going to go through the England selection problems and same with Australia as well, but we're running out of time. There's so much to talk about. There's so much cricket going on. But England has certainly got, I mean, Dan Lawrence has been a shining light, hasn't he? Came in, taken to Test cricket like a duck to water, looks at home in that shirt, certainly. And with Ollie Pope, Rory Burns and Ben Stokes coming back into the fold for the Indian series, it'll be interesting to see. It's a bit of pressure on the likes of Dom Sibley and Zach Crawley. They've got a big second Test match ahead of them next week in Gull to try and just keep themselves in that 11, I think, as well. But two terrific Test matches. The Big Bash is continuing to excite us all as well. I mean, no apologies on this podcast. It is the Big Bash Daily, but there is so much good cricket around. We can't help but not talk about it as well. And we'll keep abreast of it all. And of course, the Big Bash as we go through to the final on the 6th of February. Ollie and Sam, absolute pleasure as always.
Oh, thank you, James. It's been great to speak to you and Sam today. It's been really enjoyable.
Yeah, thanks, James. So much to talk about, but yeah, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, we could make these podcasts about 3 hours long, couldn't we? But nobody would listen to them because nobody's got that time, because there's too much cricket to watch. You can't listen to everything and watch everything at the moment. So we'll try and make these still as bite-sized as possible as we go forward. Thank you, everybody, though, for listening to these Big Bash Dailies. Hopefully you're enjoying them, and hopefully you'll stay tuned as we go through the rest of Big Bash 10. Thanks to bluecrocodile.co.uk. the continued support of this podcast. I've been James, the Cricket Badger, and I'll be back again to see you all again tomorrow.
Big Bash 10. Thanks for listening. We'll bring you another edition of the Cricket Badger Big Bash Daily Podcast in association with bluecrocodile.co.uk tomorrow. See you then.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.